Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Today is Monday, October 10th, 2016. This is John Williams, and this is a special edition of the Mincing Rascals as we are speaking to you today right after the debate. Portions of this podcast are normally heard on my Saturday show at 1:30 on WGN Radio. Now you say I'm Eric Zorn.
I forgot to say I'm Eric Zorn. There's only just me here. Eric Zorn, the delightful columnist.
The relentless columnist for the Chicago Tribune. Your colleague, editorial writer, Kristen McQuarrie from the Chicago Tribune is not able to join us today. And Steve Bertrand is wisely traveling out of country. What did you make of the debate last night? It's the second presidential debate in St. Louis last night, Eric.
Well, I thought that Trump hit a new low when he threatened to jail Hillary Clinton. And he has been scraping the bottom all along. And I just dropped my pencil when he said that. And you know, he was talking about he wants to impanel a special prosecutor, look into this email, at these allegations that the FBI has already looked at and said there's no criminal charges that are appropriate. She said, you know, I'm glad that you're not in charge of our law enforcement. He said, because you would be in jail. And that is Banana Republic talk. That's dictator talk. I thought that's a new low for this campaign. Otherwise, I thought Trump did exactly what his base wanted him to do. He litigated the case against the Clintons. You know, this pent-up frustration on the right that's been there for all these years all came out in sort of a torrent of words and accusations about, you know, Bill Clinton and his affairs and his alleged predations and the emails and everything else in Benghazi. He hit a bunch of talking points, and I'm sure that his base loved that. And in doing so, I think he righted the sinking ship of his campaign, so it's not taking on any more water.
Yeah, well, that, but it's still sinking. I completely agree with you. I thought the saddest part of the debate last night was when he said that Hillary would be in jail. I was actually, this will sound dramatic, but sad for America when he said that. We don't jail our political opponents, and there's due process. And he seemed to be not only disinterested in it, he seemed to maybe understand that and not care. That was shocking to me. I thought the saddest thing I'd hear all weekend was the Billy Bush tape. And then I thought the saddest thing I would hear all weekend was his video apology about, what was it, 24 hours later, the next day, Donald Trump issues a video apology. But in that, at the very end, he said Bill did worse and Hillary attacked the women that Bill had affairs with. And I thought at the moment that you need grace and contrition, you actually double down on it. And I thought that was going to be the worst thing I heard all weekend. And then the debate happened. And I think you're right, Eric. The part where he is, I don't know what country he wants to be president of, but that's not the United States he's talking about.
Well, and there are so many examples of when presidents have let things go. And the most recent example, obviously, is when President Obama decided not to pursue war crimes charges against Dick Cheney, George W. Bush, Donald Rumsfeld. I mean, and a lot of people on the far left particularly were really clamoring for that. They're saying, look, these guys committed war crimes with their torture of prisoners, and this needs to be prosecuted. And Obama wisely said, you know, we're moving forward on this. We're not going to do that. And the idea that he would sic a special prosecutor on Hillary Clinton.
For
and also,
wait a minute. For what is the why does he want another special prosecutor?
Well, the idea is, you know, that she was all these emails were subpoenaed
on the email. This is
yeah, and
the
they
email.
Were and they were Benghazi emails that were subpoenaed. So she turned over all these emails that were related to Benghazi, and she deleted all the ones that her lawyers said were not related to Benghazi. They were personal emails, and they deleted them and they scrubbed them off the server in the usual way that you do these things. And the implication, the fear, the frenzy on the right is that all these were actually Benghazi or Foundation-related emails that the public had a right to see, and that she's going to go to jail for this. And, you know, first of all, the FBI looked at this, and the FBI director, Jim Comey, was appointed by President Bush, the second, George W. Bush. So there's no, you know, the idea that there's something, some smoking gun there that we're going to put the former first lady in prison for this. It's just, it's right-wing frenzy talk.
But be careful, Eric, because that is suspicious and it's bad behavior. She's handled this badly from the get-go.
I don't know that...
She will always be there.
She has admitted to handling the whole email thing poorly, and there's no question that was
But that's
poor.
A red herring. The issue is, did the Justice Department or the FBI determine that there was sufficient evidence to prosecute a case? And they said no. There were 5 investigations of Vince Foster. 5. The Park Police, House Republicans, Senate Democrats, Ken Starr, the special prosecutor, and the Justice Department all looked into, just for instance, the Vince Foster case, and they all agreed that he died of suicide. And the list of investigations through the years of Hillary Clinton continues.
I think there were 9 investigations of Benghazi.
Yes, absolutely. More than there were of 9/11, more than there were of anything, right? So I'm fatigued by the idea of going down that road again. I almost wouldn't have blamed Hillary if last night she would have thrown her arms up and said, fine, you want to spend the tax dollars on that too? Get in line, because you'll find nothing. And even if you do, there is something called due process. We've executed the version of that appropriate for this case, and we've determined that she didn't commit a crime. That should be the end of the story. And then Trump stands up there and says, you'd be in jail. Horrifying.
Yes. I mean, it was a horrifying thing. And, the thing about the emails is that, and Hillary Clinton did point this out last night, which is that no one has ever pointed yet to one single bit of classified information that was hacked or leaked or discovered by our enemies or got out into public that shouldn't have. I mean, what she did was stupid and wrong, and she shouldn't have done it. It was unauthorized, and she's apologized for that. But there's no consequence to it. There's nothing you can say, well, because of Hillary Clinton's carelessness, this agent was killed or this mission was compromised. There's nothing like that. And so they're just all wrapped up about this, this basically theoretical crime.
Eric, is there a moment in the debate, though, where you found yourself wishing she had said X, and what was that?
Oh, yes.
Some of the lines you wanted her to lie?
Well, I was really interested in her response, and I don't think it's necessarily a frivolous question as to the way she handled the whole, Bill Clinton, bimbo eruptions or whatever they were calling them back then. These women who were talking about and accusing Bill Clinton of being sexually predatory toward them.
Well, he paid $800,000 to Jennifer Flowers and her attorneys.
Right, and there's no question about the money.
Or Paula Jones. Paula Jones.
Was it Paula Jones?
Well, one of them.
But in any case, I wanted to hear her answer that question. I wanted to hear her talk about, what was her, what did she say? What did she do about the situation? Now, there was some hardball politics going on. They felt at the time under siege by these women who were coming around making
these accusations. Wait, you're wondering what Hillary did about it?
I'm wondering what she did and what she said. And she,
why?
She basically deflected. Well, because, there is a question as to, if she organized some sort of, was part of some sort of orchestrated effort to discredit people who were telling the truth. I mean, that's a pretty crappy thing to do if that's what you're doing,
And you wanted her to engage that?
I wouldn't want her to be helping to lead that effort. I don't, the New York Times did a pretty good takeout on this of maybe 9 days ago where they looked at this and they didn't find a lot of information. But I think she does need to answer that question. And I think she deflected it. And, I would have liked to hear her answer to it. I don't feel like, she had to answer.
4 of those women were sitting there in the audience.
Yes.
And I think it's a matter of form and decorum. It was probably wise for her not to entertain too much of that. I mean, think about this. Second debate, President of the United States, and we're going to devolve into Hillary talking about what she did to accuse the women her husband had an affair with 15 years ago, right? I mean, how was that time well spent?
It's not time well spent, but he does bring it up, and it's something that she. Well, I mean, I would have liked to. I would have liked to hear her answer that. What about you? What are any kind of questions in places where you thought that?
I often want her to, on the campaign trail or at these debates, say, because Trump says you've been in business for 35 years. I mean, she's been in politics since she was essentially the first lady of Arkansas through running for president now, and so anything that's gone wrong with this country over the last few decades, Trump pins to her. I want her to say 2 things. One was, I was only a voting member of the United States Congress for 8 years. I had a term and a third. That's all. So I didn't have a say in a lot of these issues. Number 2, I'm not running for dictator. When she said I was She sort of referenced that point, and she said, you know, I vote. He says, if you were a more effective senator, you would have changed.
Wasn't that a shocking thing when he said that?
No, like, you're one of 535
votes. She said she tried. She had a Republican president who had a veto over that.
Yeah, I thought that would score, and it didn't. The point is, I'm not running for dictator. Just because I want something doesn't mean, as a U.S. senator, it gets to be that
right,
way.
Right, and I thought she had a pretty effective response when she talked about all the things that she has accomplished, you know, children's health insurance program and things like that. I thought she had a litany of things that she ticked off that were fairly impressive. I mean, there is only so much you can do as a first lady. You know, I mean, she made, I think, a good effort to get the health care reform done in the 90s and failed, but she did try. But there's only so much you can. She has absolutely no power as a first lady of Arkansas or as the United States.
Yeah.
And like you said, she was a senator for 8 years, but you know, the Senate is a notoriously difficult place to get things done with a filibuster, and then you've got a Republican president. So, yeah, exactly what does he think she can do? And that gets back to this whole idea of his concept of leadership as dictatorship, which gets back to this thing about I'm going to put you in jail.
I thought it was also interesting last night, the sort of disconnect between him and Mike Pence and him brushing him aside when the issue, I believe, was Syria.
Yes, can you explain what his theory is on Syria? He thinks that Russia and Iran
and Syria
are all helping
together to
beat ISIS. I don't think that that's true. I mean, my understanding of exactly what's going on over there is probably even as limited as his.
But there were a number of times last night where I thought, I wouldn't pursue the logic train on this because you'll get lost.
Did you get the feeling that Hillary was just kind of letting him talk? She was playing defense. She was answering the questions. She went on offense a little bit, kind of trying to get under his skin, but she was kind of content to sit on her lead. And I think, and maybe that was smart because she knows that the day after, when you take a cold, hard look at the transcript of that debate and see how many times he just got things completely wrong or he lied completely. Remember, he said, I never said to go look at a porn video. He's got a tweet saying, go look at the porn video.
Yeah.
I mean, these are things that he just lies all the time. And Hillary knew that today we'd all be looking at that and the post-debate referees would rule in her favor. I was kind of surprised that the CNN poll, if you know, they poll people before and after the debate, was so strongly in favor of Hillary.
Of Hillary.
Yes. And the YouGov poll afterwards.
I think you're right, though, that she didn't need to win last night's debate. I think the more rope you give him, he'll be happy to hang himself. It's almost more intriguing to see what Mike Pence does or Paul Ryan, who, as we speak, has just come out and said, I'm not going to defend Donald Trump. I'm going to try and help the ticket now. But this is another
sort of... The ticket or the party? What did he say?
The party. Yeah. Pardon me, the party. And here's another thing that Donald Trump did ad nauseum last night, which Hillary and all politicians do. But since there were so many specific questions about his... ability to be a president of the United States. Is he fit to be president? So I actually think his answers to some of these questions are more important than hers. For instance, they asked him about the Supreme Court. Asked about the Supreme Court last night, Trump said that Hillary is not putting enough of her own money into the campaign. You know, he'd say something like, well, I like Scalia and we need to, protect the Constitution. And then and that took about 15 seconds. And then he was ranting about how he put more of his money into the campaign than Hillary. And there were just a number of instances like that.
It felt a little canned, didn't it? It felt like he was. But one thing that he was clearly instructed to do was to pivot off whatever question you're asked and turn it into an answer that you want to give. And again, they asked him about discipline, right? They said, do you have a discipline to be president? And it took him about 10 seconds to mention Benghazi. I mean, he managed, and so in some ways, that's what he wanted to do. And remember, he had nothing to lose last night because the wheels had come off his campaign Friday afternoon when that video came out and all these Republicans started abandoning him and unendorsing him. And they did not have a good response to that video. it just looked like, I mean, he's already down in the polls, and it looked like just the end. So he had nothing to lose last night. He needed to rally his base and bring them back.
He rallied his base, but did he win any of those women that he offended on Friday, Sunday night? He didn't get the memo about body language on the stage. Hillary brilliantly put herself between him and the questioners, and then you were able to see him sort of loping. He had this sort of odd loping in the background. There was one point where he actually got a little too close to her from behind. The body language was gross and bizarre. And, you know, probably just happenstance, but it still happened. He had no idea how to comport himself on the stage. And the sniffing, Donald Trump is making America sniff again. I don't know if he's going to make it great again, but I think that sniffing of his is a tell. He doesn't do it in interviews. He doesn't do it at rallies. But in the debates, when he's really got to think of something and really just kind of contain himself from going all apeshit, he does that. He must have done it 50 times.
Well, people were counting on Twitter. I saw one count in the 70s and another in the 80s. And it wouldn't surprise me. It was so constant.
Well, it's a tell. It's a tell. And I'm not exactly sure what it tells us, but it's an unconscious tip that he gives when he's, I think, under great stress, and he's trying to contain the madman within.
I mean, he was doing right wing talk radio last night. He was doing Breitbart articles. He was just massaging that base of his and keeping them in line, because I think there were probably some of them who were just thinking about not abandoning him, but just giving up the spirit, you know. And I think he was able to rally those people and convince them to stick with him, and probably prevented some other prominent Republicans from completely abandoning him. Because the problem that Republicans have, and this is why the party is in such trouble here, is that if you're running in a state, you know, where you're going to need some moderate votes, and most states are that way, you have to distance yourself from Trump, but you also need those base Republican voters who are supporting Trump. So you need to walk a really fine line, you know, where you're saying, well, I disagree with him on some things, and I agree with him on others, and I'm not sure who I'm going to vote for yet. I mean, look at poor Kelly Ayotte. You know, she's up there is in New Hampshire, right? That's the state. Am I getting that right? I don't want to get that wrong.
Yeah, I'll double check.
Right. But she's up there, you know, kind of trying to figure out, is he a role model? Can she endorse him? Is she going to vote for him? Is she going to write in somebody else? And, you know, and every time she makes a move one direction, people get mad at her. So, boy. I don't feel sorry for them, because they got in bed with him in the first place. Mark Kirk has nothing to worry about, because he's always been against Trump. So
Senator Kelly Ayotte, here I'll just go, is the Republican senator from New Hampshire.
Yes. What do I win?
Ding, 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 ding. Last thing. Was it Martha Raddatz last night? Was that the other moderator?
Yes. Anderson Cooper, Martha Raddatz.
Do you think that she overstepped the bounds of impartiality when she almost started to attack Donald Trump?
Yeah, I think she went a little too far when she demanded that he answer. She asked a question, and she went back and said, would you please answer the question? You know, at some point, that's not the moderator asks the question, maybe does a follow-up, but doesn't go back and badger. On the other hand, you look at the, you know, he complained about the refs all night, but people who put a stopwatch to the debate said that Trump talked for 40 minutes and she talked for 39 minutes. So he got his licks in. So.
Yeah, no, it's 3-1. It's 3-1. Well, so, that seems fair. 3-1. Fair.
So bottom line, I don't think this was a game changer. I think that he was able to solidify his base a little bit, but I don't think he's going to win any votes. I don't think he's going to change basically the shape of this race right now. But, you know, we got 3 weeks to go, so 4 weeks to go.
We'll close with Bob Schieffer's words when asked about it afterwards on CBS last night. He said, how has America come to this? Are we a banana? No. How did it come to this? We're not a banana republic. This is the United States of America. He was almost in tears. He looked utterly sad. And that was too. Eric Zorn writes for the Chicago Tribune. You can read him online at tribune.com/Zorn. I am John Williams. This is a special Tuesday edition of the Mincing Rascals.
Monday edition.
Yeah, that's right, isn't it? Today's Monday. Well, it's all a fog to me. We're about 4 weeks out from the election.
And we're going to be doing another podcast on Friday, by which time there's going to be tons more news on this campaign.
I think there'll be more audio and video, sadly, for us to dissect or not. Thanks to our producer engineer today, one Ben Cortez. Thank you, Eric Zorn. We'll drop another pot on you on Friday.
You little rascal, you! You little rascal, you! You little rascal, you!